The BS Report is presented by Subway. Football season is over. Footlong season is just beginning. For a limited time, get any piled high regular footlong for just $5. Any footlong, just $5. Hurry in, Subway. Eat fresh. Eat fresh. The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
All right, welcome to BS Report. Our old friend Matthew Berry, not on the line, in the studio, so we can't even say he's on the Subway Fresh Take hotline. Joe Mead, can we say that or no?
You know what? Let's go ahead and just say it.
All right. Well, he's on the Subway Fresh Take hotline, but with headphones on in Bristol.
I feel proud. I got to be honest, because look at you, embracing the sponsor, talking to your producer.
Yeah, you've taught me well, Obi-Wan.
I'm telling you, I feel a little bit.
Yeah. Come on. I like it.
Have you ever met Jared from Subway, by the way?
I haven't. I'm hoping to supplant him as the face of Subway. I don't think it's going to happen.
That guy is a rock star. I ran into him at the Super Bowl, and, you know, I was with, like, I had my one little ESPN PR person. We were doing Radio Row, and so we're trying to, you know, whatever, you know, do some interviews and that kind of stuff and promote ESPN Fantasy. And Jared walks up, and I swear to God, he's with eight people. Jared rolls nine deep. And I'm like, are you kidding me? He's got this huge entourage. He's a rock star, and wherever he goes, people are like, Jared. It's ridiculous.
So you're talking like two PR people, maybe a manager, maybe like somebody holding his, like an assistant host.
Right.
And holding
probably
his
somebody,
book.
Probably a sandwich maker.
A Subway representative.
No, definitely two Subway representatives. Somebody, you know, someone to get the chicks.
Well, speaking of the culture of ridiculous celebrities.
Right.
Last night.
And by the way, I'll just say this. Like I said that to Jared's to his face. I said, I can't believe you, Jared from Subway, roll nine deep. He's like, I know, it's ridiculous. He's actually like, he actually has a very good sense of humor about himself, which is cool. But
then he said to his people, get this guy away from me right now.
I don't know who he is. Security.
Speaking of ridiculous celebrities, last night, ABC, 3 hours, The Bachelor. Did you see it?
I didn't.
Oh.
You know what? I keep hoping I'm going to be on The Bachelor. So I don't watch until I'll be on The Bachelor. Enough with the good-looking single guys. Like, you know, Jesse Palmer, right? Our college football analyst, you and I, our colleague here at ESPN, he was The Bachelor. Jesse Palmer doesn't need to be The Bachelor, okay? Jesse Palmer has no, trust me on this one, Jesse Palmer has no trouble whatsoever. Guy's great-looking. He's a college football star. He's on TV. He didn't need to be The Bachelor. They should do a Bachelor. Listen, you want a TV show? How about me? Try a balding guy pushing, you know, in his late 30s. See if they can sell me. That would be a show.
Jesse Palmer now admits now pretends that The Bachelor did not happen.
Which is ridiculous, by the way, because anytime, you talk to somebody about Jesse, they're like, oh my God, The Bachelor's coming? No one even here at ESPN, they're like, oh my God, I just talked to The Bachelor. And by the way, he knows his stuff about college football. He's actually like a great guy. But, yeah, no, he's The Bachelor. Everyone refers to him as such.
He needs to come to grips with the fact that that show is watched by like 12 million people and it pushed him to another level of visibility that he would not have attained as the third string quarterback in the Giants.
Of course, no question.
Yeah. Well, anyway, The Bachelor last night. First time in Bachelor history. You know, they say every year. Well, they say every year it was the most amazing Bachelor ever.
Right.
So he picks one girl, and then when they do the After the Rose ceremony.
Uh-huh.
It's revealed that he, in the time between when they finished shooting and like the six weeks for the After the Rose, he has now changed his mind. He's now in love with the other girl. And they clear the studio, no audience, and he breaks up with the girl that he was allegedly engaged to on national TV. And she is like about as bitter as I have ever seen on television. And she's just like, don't talk to me, don't, and just storms out. And then the other girl comes in and the the sleazy host Chris Harrison is saying, you know, do you still have feelings for him? She's like, I'm not going to lie, I do. She has no idea that this guy just broke up with his fiance.
And right.
They decide, and they break the news to her that he has now broken up with this other girl he picked. And it's one of the all-time great reactions I've ever seen on television. Like, she's just in disbelief and looking, glancing around, can't process it. And then finally they agree to go on a date. So there you go.
So she's sloppy seconds.
Yeah, there but maybe that's where his heart led. I'll tell you, it was riveting.
Well, clearly, you watched every single moment of it.
Well, I did, and I went to the Clippers-Spurs game, which
was another train wreck, I'm sure.
Another barn burner. Right. So, Clips only lost by 25 this time, and then came
bigger,
home in time
bigger
for
train wreck, Clippers-Spurs or The Bachelor last night?
Clippers-Spurs, only because the fans now leave in the beginning of the fourth quarter, and they all have this look on their face like they're like they just farted and they want to get out of the room before anybody smells it. And it's just everybody leaving the section in sequence with that same look on their face. And you know how LA works.
But at some point, shouldn't they have been beaten down enough to expect this?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, it's weird. It's like they're like the husband in some relationship with this horrible wife. They're like Donald Sutherland and Ordinary People.
Have you seen
just this horrible wife that they can't get away from, but they don't realize how horrible the wife is yet?
Like, well, it's like the wife in John and Kate plus 8. Have you seen that yet?
Have not seen that one.
That is, I don't even remember what channel it is on, but I've caught it on cable a few times, and it's it's on TLC? Pod Vader in the studio here. Doing what Joe Meek couldn't.
I thought TLC only had midgets and obese people and like conjoined twins. I thought that was programming for them.
But this is, I think it's in between the midget. And this is 8 kids. So it's this husband and wife and like 8 kids. And what's hilarious is like, I think the show started as supposed to be about like this family trying to raise 8 kids.
Yeah.
But it's now just about this woman that just berates and totally henpecks this poor guy. And all the interviews, you just see her just totally, and this poor guy just sits there and like crouches like in a fetal position. It's actually brilliant. So yeah, it's like the husband and I guess it's John and Kate plus 8.
He's not a conjoined twin.
He might wish he was. After that, you should see it. She just like this poor guy's masculinity just gets ripped to shreds. I've only seen like 2 episodes, and in the 2 episodes I saw, just this poor guy, you're just like, "Aw, dude." Mm. It's pretty bad.
Have you seen the show on the conjoined twins?
I don't know that I've seen which. I've seen conjoined twins. I don't know that I've seen a specific show.
They're 18-year-old conjoined twin sisters who just turned 18 who have different heads but share the same body but have different digestive systems. And it's unclear if they
have the
same organs.
I've seen a story on them. I've seen like a 60 Minutes or a something story. That's a tragic story, I think.
It's tragic, but at the same time, it seems like they're relatively happy for whatever reason. It's weird, though. Like, one controls the left arm, and the other controls the right arm, and there's just a lot going on. I was on a whole email exchange about it, and one of the guys on the exchange, Kevin Wilds, who we might have to call at some point, he admitted that he was attracted to one of the two twins, and not the other.
I know Kevin Wilds, and I can't wait to give him
He was all for one of the twins, not as attracted to the other twin, but realized that if anything ever happened, he would have to probably love both. But
yeah, I mean, how do you ask out one of the conjoined twins?
Well, the weird thing is
that's a tough row to hoe, right? I mean, hey, listen,
row to hoe.
You know, hey, Amanda, can you? I don't even know what their names are, but hey, Amanda, just look away for a second.
Yeah.
So listen, Becky, think you're great, and just wondering what you're doing later.
What's weird is that they both want to get. Well, they both want to get married.
Wow. So I guess the other one has to be the bridesmaid, right? Maid of honor.
If they were male conjoined twins, like maybe that would work. Maybe they would it would be like a constant double date.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by them.
Let's sign them up for Match.com. Oh yeah? You think you guys are all so great? Here you go. Here's some conjoined twins.
I might draft the conjoined twins for one of my fantasy baseball teams because I think I'm gonna have like 5, and that provides us a nice segue.
I suppose it does. It'd be a good. It's a good fantasy baseball name. The conjoined twins. The conjoined twins. Yeah,
that is a nice one. All right. Well, first let's talk about our fantasy hoops league.
Yeah,
we had this league. We found 8 other people to compete against.
And they're very bitter about the lack of podcast love that they've gotten.
Well, we haven't done a podcast probably in 3 months.
No, I know. I'm no Jacko.
Oh.
That's right. I'm going to be honest. Listen, I'm a person with feelings. I have emotions. I see Mike Lombardi up there on every single day of your body. Yeah. I get jealous, Bill.
The issue really is that you're on so many mediums.
Am I overexposed?
Well, I don't even know if overexposed is the word I would use. What's a word that would be greater than that?
See, I'm not at all. Trust me when I tell you, who, like, you disappear for months on end, and then you throw out a couple of podcasts. Every once in a while, you occasionally write.
Hold on, wait.
Update your Facebook status. And yet, still, I can't tell you how many times anytime I go out, people, you know, the people that come up to me, they say nice things, they'll be like, Matthew, you're like my favorite writer. Well, you and Simmons. I can't tell you how many times. That's my request. I have two requests from the listeners of this podcast. I want to be put in consideration for The Bachelor, because I think that would be the greatest upset in reality television history. And secondly, I want someone to come up to me and not mention your name.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Here's how overexposed you are.
Okay.
When I emailed my producer, Joe Mead, telling him that, you know, the 10:30 time, and he asked if you were going to be in the studio, you were calling in, and I said that you were calling in because you were in Des Moines, Iowa for ESPN the farming weekend.
Right.
And Joe Mead emailed, not challenging it. Joe Mead just emails him back and says, okay, we'll have him call the studio number.
Didn't even question it.
Joe Mead, you believed ESPN the farming weekend.
No, I did not.
You did. You believed it.
I thought, you know, Matthew was taking care of some business in Des Moines. You know,
in Des Moines, Iowa. What business would he have in Des Moines, Iowa?
I thought he had a sister-in-law, you know, something. Who knows?
Jimmy, this is the biggest disgrace in the history of Notre Dame education, that you believed ESPN the farming weekend.
Look, there's no farming weekend yet, but it's coming.
Well, speaking of that, you went to ESPN The Weekend in Orlando, Florida last weekend, right, Matthew?
Well, sort of. I want to be clear on this. I was not officially part of The Weekend. They get very specific about who is part of The Weekend and who wasn't.
Well, who was part of The Weekend?
Mike and Mike were part of The Weekend. Trey Wingo, Mark Schlereth, the gang from First Take, so Jay Crawford, Dana Jacobson, Skip Bayless were there.
I like Jay Crawford.
Jay Crawford's a great guy.
He's a nice guy.
They actually, by the way, they all are.
Well, they all are, but I specifically like Jay Crawford.
Jay Crawford might be the nicest guy. But
Trey Wingo's up there too, but Jay Crawford is one of the 10 nicest people I think I've ever met.
That's correct. He is genuinely like a great guy. But by the way, Skip Bayless, not at all what you would expect. Like, actually a genuinely really nice guy and, you know, very reasonable in person. And same with Dana. So I'm actually, you know, I started on Cold Pizza, so I'm actually, you know, I have very fond feelings about First Take / Cold Pizza.
We started at Cold Pizza. That's like,
I know.
Yeah, I did some snuff films back in the 70s.
I also did that.
Yeah.
Right. You know who I started with? The very first fantasy segment I ever did was I did a fantasy reality with Buster Olney, who they were just starting out. So there you
really?
Go.
Really?
Yeah. A little.
This is before he got the
before he became
professional
Buster
hairdo?
Olney. Before yeah. he became, but Buster was down there, and but all the Baseball Tonight guys, you know, Carl Ravitch, Steve Phillips, John Kruk, Peter Gammon. So
I don't
anyway,
understand.
I wasn't part of it.
But you were there though.
I was there. They sent me down. Thursday we broadcast the Braves Astros game, and I did the sixth inning to promote ESPN Fantasy Baseball, which I can do here or at some point during this podcast. But they always yell at me because I don't pimp enough when I'm on your podcast. Why didn't you mention this? Or why didn't you mention that? So at some point I do have to be a company man and pimp.
Well, can we just get it over with now?
All right, fine. You can play fantasy baseball for free on ESPN.com. Free live scoring. It's 100% free. Fully customizable. Like whatever kind of crazy rules you have, you can play for free. And by the way, this year, and I know you have experience with this because we did it for our basketball league, auction draft capability. You can do an online auction now.
I got to say something.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, Lord knows I'm not a company man. In fact, I'm probably the opposite is
yes.
to my detriment. But our online auction thing is fantastic.
Isn't it great?
We did it. I did it for your basketball. I told the story, but I did it for the basketball league we created. After I was done, I emailed 9 friends and said, look, just trust me on this. Tuesday, 8 o'clock, fantasy basketball. Whatever. It'll be $150. We'll just pay the winner at the end. Just trust me. I would never steer you wrong. And after it was over, everybody was like, had to collectively go outside and have a cigarette. They were so satisfied by it. I loved it. I don't know what makes it great, but I loved it.
It's just great. Well, it's the great thing about auctions in general is that you have a shot at every player. Normally in a draft, you know, one guy gets Hanley Ramirez and then no one else gets a shot at him. But here, you just have to pay them much. It's the truest test of fantasy skill, I believe, because it's a little bit kind of the same skills in poker. You've got to read, like, when do you bid, when do you not bid, do you hold your money, when's a value, when's it not. You have a shot at every single player. Everyone's on the same playing field. And the technology guys, there's a bunch of guys here at ESPN that worked really hard on this, and they did a great job on it. And, you know, I can take no credit for it whatsoever. I had nothing to do with it other than the fact that, you know, at some point somebody said, hey, we're going to do an auction draft. And I went, great, cool.
Wait a second. So the only thing you have to make sure you have with this auction draft is a good internet connection.
Because yes.
In the second draft we did, the one that I didn't do with you, my friend Strick, his internet connection got knocked out for like 8 minutes.
Yep.
And all of a sudden he's bidding like $26 for Jason Kidd. And we're like, what's going on? And then he bid like $25 for Andre Iguodala. And we're like, oh my God, he's gone insane. And then he came back online 8 minutes later. He's like, man, I just got knocked off. What happened? It was like, well, welcome Jason Kidd to your team, buddy.
Right. Well, you have to make sure you turn off the auto. There's an autopilot thing. But so if you want to leave, you can, it'll bid up to a certain amount, but you can also, you just make sure you turn it off. But anyway,
it's all free
to play, blah, blah, blah. We have free draft kit online, everything you need to do to win your league for free.
Back to the auction.
Yeah.
I gave you this idea and you haven't reported on the progress, so I'll say the idea now.
Okay.
We love the auction so much that we decided that we just wanted to have auction drafts for anything.
Right.
And so, like, we wanted to do, like, just top 100 all-time babes.
Right.
And we just basically we'd input, like, 200 babes into the auction draft, and then we'd just have an auction with the $200. I swear to God we would have done this on Wednesday night if ESPN.com had the capability. So my suggestion for our brilliant tech guys – make a component where I can have an auction where we can just input 200 names, 250 names, whatever. Like you and I could say, let's have an auction draft right now, 80s movies. And we'll put in 50 80s movies, and then we'll have an auction and we'll see. It sounds stupid, but I guarantee people would do this at work. I guarantee it.
Yeah, listen, there's no question that when it comes to stupid stuff people will do at work, you are the king of that. There's no,
yes.
You've made an entire career of it.
I've made it to cottage industry.
It's on the list. It's on what we call the roadmap. So
I was stopped by the ESPN offices once, and we had a draft of movies where it was 6 people in all, and it was movies that once you drafted the actor, you owned everything that guy ever made on DVD. And we did this for like an hour, and then we stared at the board for another hour and argued about who had the best team. And one of the guys, this guy, Dan Silver, I don't know if you've met.
Yeah, I know him. I know Dan.
He went all artsy-fartsy.
Right.
And he, you know.
That doesn't surprise me, knowing Dan.
Not surprising at all. But he went like the.
He went Steven Soderbergh-like.
Yeah, he went Steven Soderbergh. And what's the dude who makes all the movies that I hate? He made Rushmore. Who's that guy?
The
director.
Oh, the director, Anderson.
Yeah,
Anderson.
He went like the Wes Anderson route,
Wes
and
Anderson.
It was like he picked all guys that he all could have gotten in the 7th round, so we knocked him after
early.
That.
He went early for the artsy fartsy stuff. He reached, yeah.
But I just think with our auction system, we got to come up with more ways for people to waste time. And I know America agrees with me because they're listening to this podcast right now.
No, there's absolutely no question. Listen, if there was ever a career that was made because of people like to waste time, I think it's clearly the sports guy.
Thank you. You know, with fantasy baseball this year, there's a couple nice wrinkles for a draft if you have in person. Like, I think whoever picks A-Rod, that's at least 5 minutes of jokes, right?
Yeah, absolutely. What's your favorite A-Rod nickname? I've been going between A-Roid, A-Fraud, Stray-Rod. I pitched that to Sports Nation that we should have had that as a poll. They turned it down. But,
yeah, they can't do that.
Yeah, but that. What's your favorite? I think mine's A-Fraud.
I always enjoyed A-Fraud. I like Mr. May. I always enjoyed that
Mr.
one.
Mr. May is pretty good.
I like A-Roid is funny because I as I've mentioned this before. I think so many announcers are going to do the Freudian slip and accidentally call him that because it's so close to A-Rod.
Right.
You'll hear Jerry Remy accidentally say it like 10 times.
A-Roid?
Yeah, A-Roid.
And people forget about, you know, Stray Rod came about when there was a story about him.
With the stripper.
With the stripper, but it could certainly be apropos now. Right, you know, he's strayed from the path. He's, you know, taking performance enhancing drugs.
There's got to be something about the whole I was
Prey Rod. You could do Prey Rod, you know, he's been hanging out with Madonna, the whole Kabbalah thing.
There's something there about how that his whole thing he said about how he wasn't being honest with himself, so how could he be honest to Katie Couric? Something about him and the truth. I don't know what that nickname would be, but I now associate the most complicated lie that actually kind of makes sense until you start thinking about it with A-Rod.
Yeah.
Because that whole thing he said about...
I hate A-Rod. I got a great A-Rod story for you. I got a
tell
great
us how you
A-Rod
feel.
Story.
Okay.
I hate A-Rod, and I'll tell you why. So, you know I'm a longtime Angels fan.
Yeah.
And so in 2000, when the Angels were in the World Series, I think it's 02, right? When they won the World Series, mm-hmm. right? So I'm at Game 6. My uncle Norm, has been an Angels fan for like 30 years, had season tickets forever. He's got fifth row behind the plate, crazy grid seats. So I'm there in Game 6. I'm sitting there fifth row behind home plate with my uncle and my then wife and my uncle's wife and so my aunt. One section over is A-Rod, Scott Boras, and Harold Reynolds. Okay. Who was at the time with part of ESPN Baseball Tonight. Okay. So I see over there and I say, I'm like, oh wow, it's A-Rod, Harold Reynolds, and Scott Boras, right? Okay. After the first inning, and they're basically five rows behind home plate and like the other side of home plate, if you will. So they're literally one section over. And after the first inning, two kids, probably 10 and 12, come down holding pens and pads. Okay. And as soon as he sees them, Alex Rodriguez suddenly gets a phone call, pulls out his cell phone and turns away, is on the call. Harold Reynolds gets up, takes pictures with the two kids, the mom comes down, signs autographs, super nice. Two kids leave, inning starts again. As soon as the kids leave and the inning starts, I see A-Rod put his phone away and I see Scott Boras take out his phone. Okay? And I see Boras got on the phone. Then I see at the end of the half inning, two guys in yellow security jackets come down and sit around Reynolds, A-Rod, and Scott Boras so that no kids can come down and bother them the rest of the game. And I don't know why. So I've just told you I don't know what they said on the phone. I can't, you know, I'm just telling you that's just what I saw one section over. And kids came down and Harold Reynolds signed autographs and was a super nice guy. A-Rod, you know, switched seats with Boras so he's one more seat in. Didn't sign any autographs. And listen, I get, if you're A-Rod, if you're somebody that insanely famous, you probably get bombarded 8 million times a day, right? And there are times when you're just like, I just want to watch. But I was just like, they're kids, and they were coming in the middle of the inning, not disturbing you. You're in a baseball game. You're in a World Series game, which, by the way, you're not playing in. And I just sort of felt like, wow. You know what I mean? When you sign a contract worth $250 million, you sign every autograph that gets asked. That comes with that gig.
Do you know why he didn't sign for them?
Why is that?
Because he wasn't being honest with himself.
Yeah.
How could he sign his name if he didn't believe in his own name? Himself.
I just thought that was the jerkiest thing I'd ever. I mean, you know, and it just really bothered me when I saw that. And that he had to hide behind his. That's what I saw. Again, I don't know what was said on the calls. I don't know what was going through his mind.
Can I ask
I don't know
you
what
this?
The kid said. I'm just telling you, I saw that whole thing. Saw it with my own two eyes, and it just drove me. Ever since then, I've hated A-Rod.
How can you hate A-Rod but constantly defend Kobe? Aren't they in the same phylum?
Not at all. Because I'll tell you what. Kobe's actually a really good guy. I mean, listen, whatever. He is. Stop. Stop. Don't laugh. Listen, really, you want to go into a Boston Lakers thing right now?
I'm not
seriously
going into anything. I'm just saying.
Listen, how's Marbury working out for you guys yet? Talk about a winner that you guys just you guys just signed up.
He's our 10th man.
Yeah. Kobe is, I've never had a personal interaction with Kobe. Secondly, guy does a lot of different things for the community. And by the way, the other thing is that I don't think Kobe tries to come across as, here's the thing. I think Kobe's very real. You know? And,
okay.
Hang on. Hear me out for okay. a second.
Sure.
A-Rod tries to come across as Mr. Nice Guy, as Mr. Man of the People. I don't think Kobe does. I don't think Kobe tries to. Kobe doesn't have a PR coach. Kobe doesn't, you know, I mean, Kobe's a little bit like, yeah, whatever, this is who I am. You know?
Like,
don't you think?
I personally think
that at all.
I think he's been struggling with his identity for like 10 years. I don't think he knows what he is. As witnessed by the fact that he once rapped with Tyra Banks at All-Star Weekend in 2001, or that he changed his number, or that he gives himself nicknames. I don't think he knows who he is.
Okay, first off, let's deal with those things one at a time. First off, the thing with Tyra Banks.
Yeah.
We all have moments with women that we regret. Let's just leave it at that.
Was he dating Tyra Banks?
No. I don't think so.
I can't imagine
he was.
I urge people to press the pause button on this podcast, go to YouTube, and search for Kobe Tyra Banks, and then watch 4 minutes of Absolute Magic.
Well, listen, Kobe's a man of many skills. I don't know that rapping is right up there. Same with Tyra, actually. Tyra, a woman of many skills, but I don't know that. You know what? All I can tell you is that I think Kobe is very much a genuine person. In fact, I've heard from insiders that one of the frustrations is that he won't hire a PR guy. That he could come across as more likable, and he won't. He just doesn't care. He's sort of just who he is. I'll tell you one other thing about Kobe. One other thing about Kobe versus A-Rod.
Yeah.
Kobe's clutch.
Yeah, that's true.
Kobe is clutch, and Kobe earns his money. I think even Kobe detractors would say Kobe's a guy who comes to play every single minute of every single game. Wednesday night against the Grizzlies, he's still out there in minute 38 doing everything he can. And I don't think you say that about A-Rod.
And I'll never forget.
You don't have anyone calling him A-Fraud, any of his teammates calling him A-Fraud. He may not be the most genial guy around. But he gives it 110%, and that's what you have to ask for. A-Rod's a guy who, yeah, as you say, Mr. May.
I'll never forget his great performance in Game 7 of the Suns series in 2006. And I certainly won't forget any of his memorable 2008 Finals performances.
I'm sorry. Well, at some point when you get body checked, eventually you figure someone is going to call a foul. And in the Suns game, by the way, he was trying to get everyone else involved. That was the game plan.
By quitting on the court?
He didn't quit on the court. He was trying to get... No one else could make a stupid shot.
Well, in the third quarter, he quit.
He did not quit in the third.
He did quit. I watched the game. He quit.
He absolutely did not quit. But by the way...
In his defense, he should have quit because he was playing with Smush Parker and just a bunch of absolute stiffs. And I think he got so bummed out in the second half that he just stopped shooting.
Yeah, well, that game should never have gone to Game 7. They should have won the Sun series in Game 6.
And, yeah, what was the play? There was a play in Los Angeles.
It was the Tim Thomas ridiculous
three.
Hit a ridiculous three. They got a long
set
rebound.
Set up by a rebound. Yeah, a long rebound. They had three guys underneath.
Yeah, it was just a total fluke play.
Up.
And Tim Thomas, of course, another guy that like had basically quit on his team, and so he got released because
I don't want to do the Lakers Celtics thing because it would just be us shouting at each other for 20 minutes. Let's talk about this league that we formed.
Oh, the basketball league, yes.
Yeah, the Simonberry League. We picked the 8 people, and now we're in the playoffs. It's round one. The rounds, 2 rounds. It goes 4 rounds total.
You and I both made the playoffs.
I somehow made it, even though my team was just destroyed by injuries.
Yeah, and you backed in. You were like kind of in the Eastern Conference. You're kind of like, you know, in the Eastern Conference of fantasy basketball where you really didn't deserve to make the playoffs, but because you had a kind of a weaker division, you snuck in there with a 9-9 record. Although I will give you this, in fairness to you, somewhat, you were fairly high up in points against. So because we did it head to head, the schedule makers didn't help you that much.
Well, also, you know, and this is what drives me crazy about fantasy basketball, especially if you do week to week. You can just have these seasons where you just have 5 or 6 guys get hurt on a Monday or a Tuesday and it just murders you.
Yeah.
And for some reason I had that, and then I had the guys that weren't quite injured enough to go on injured reserve, but we're somehow like not playing either. So it was just 3 weeks, 4 weeks of carrying Kevin Martin, waiting for his high ankle sprain to recover, but it never did.
Yeah.
Just one of those weeks. I feel like my team right now.
You like your team?
I do.
Yeah, I like my team too.
Let's go over it. We'll have the listeners decide. So here's my team.
All right, go ahead. By the way, just so you know, Seattle Matt had the best regular season record.
And then I'm about to bounce him.
Right, and you're playing him. You finished fourth. The top four made the playoffs. Second was Greg Poehler, Amy Poehler's brother.
Right.
And then I was third, one game behind them, and then you were fourth. So I'm playing Amy's brother. Go over your team.
Well, I spent like over 1/4 of my salary cap on Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
And that worked out.
Yes, it did.
I have Pau Gasol, who's been great, especially because Bynum got hurt.
Yep.
Kevin Martin, who is now great, but really killed me for the first half of the season. Gerald Wallace, who gets injuries that I've never heard before, like ruptured
spleens.
I thought
he was out for the year at one point.
Yeah, he gets these injuries. It's like, yeah, he broke his fourth cervical bone. He'll be back next week. So you just never know what's going on with him. My biggest disappointment, actually, John Sammons has been really good for me. Beadrin's has been terrible. I've been carrying
you got hurt by the trade there.
Well, but now Lou Aldang is hurt, so. Right. I've carried Gilbert Arenas' corpse all season, and he's still in my IR. That was just $20 down the tube. I got Rondo. I drafted Charlie Villanueva, stupidly waived him, somehow got him back, and now he's been one of my best guys. I have David West, who's been brilliant all season. And then finally, Al Horford. Disappointing.
Yeah.
Kind of a letdown.
Yeah.
I mean, he was one of the guys I was counting on. Him and Rondo were my young guys that I thought were going to really step up. But anyway, my team is relatively healthy, and I like my team. Now, here's your team.
Yeah, go ahead. You have it pulled up in front of you. I don't have it in front of me.
Right. Well, you know, we argued about Shaq.
I was just going to say, do you still think he was the worst $4 I ever spent?
I do not.
Thank you very much.
I didn't know about the...
You mocked me so much when I spent $4 on an auction. I was like, trust me, he's going to earn $4, especially in this format.
But from what we heard, he wasn't going to play back-to-backs. You know, his foul shooting, what I didn't know, and trust me, I'll be mocking you again when the scandal happens, was what the Phoenix training program would allegedly do with him. Phoenix training staff. He's the next HGH scandal. I'm just saying it now. that whole team is going Balco on us. I'm just kidding, kind of. You have Chris Paul.
Yeah, that worked out well for me.
You have Josh Smith, who got hurt for a little bit, but now he's back.
Yeah, he's been doing okay. He's been a little disappointing. You know who's also been disappointing is Stabby McStaberson, your Paul Pierce.
Yeah, you know, I just think he's got a lot of miles on him from the last 2 years.
Yeah, I was really counting on. He's so money when it comes to fantasy, Paul Pierce.
Yeah, he's reliable.
I need him to leave the court and then come back 30 seconds later.
Well, the great thing about him is you know you're getting 80 to 82 games from him.
Yeah.
He's one of the most durable stars we've ever had.
Absolutely.
You have Antoine Jameson, who's putting up good stats on a bad team.
Yep.
Jamal Crawford is putting up
good stats on a bad team.
Decent stats on a bad team. Ben Gordon putting up good stats on a bad team.
Yeah. Ben Gordon's been real nice.
23 points a game the last month.
Mm-hmm.
Marquise Daniels, who I'm sure you picked up.
I just picked up
agent.
This week because he's been going nuts since Granger went out.
You picked up with one of those rules you made up as the season went along that we could pick up players in the playoffs.
The playoffs haven't started yet. I picked it up last week before the playoffs started.
Last week, it was Sunday. You picked him up 24 hours before the playoffs started.
Before the playoffs started, yeah. We had a free agent period. Other teams did too. Just because you blew all your money reacquiring Charlie Villanueva, who you let go, it's not my fault. You're dumb. It's like,
well,
you know, anyway.
Congratulations.
You know what you are? I got to be honest with you. And I want the people that play in fantasy leagues with you to email in. Because you complain about the whiny guy in the league, and you're the whiny guy. You're the whiny guy in the league.
I've just never been in a league where somebody could pick up guys during the playoffs. It was a first for me.
Well, you play in like one league and all of a sudden like
two.
That's you play in two leagues and
I do
and
two leagues for each sport.
Right. And suddenly that's representative of every league ever. Trust me, I play in a lot more leagues than you. There are leagues that have every possible rule. I've played in leagues where you can pick up guys throughout the playoffs. I've played in leagues where there's a...
It would have been nice to know that was a rule. I would have probably put in for somebody.
Had you easily read the rules, which have been listed on the website since day one, you would have known that.
Chris Paul turned out
to
be not as...
If you spent less time trying to do auction movies, auctions about 80s movies...
I have no regrets.
...and spent 10 minutes reading the rules of the basketball league, you'd have been fine.
I spent less money on Dwayne Wade than you did on Chris Paul.
Yeah, Wade was a great buy. I have no regrets about my Chris Paul buy, if that's what you're getting on. I spent less money on Tracy McGrady than you did on Gilbert Arenas, and at least I got something out of T-Mac.
What did you spend on T-Mac?
$4.
And I spent 10 on Arenas.
Yeah.
But how did I know Arenas was just never coming back?
You could have watched basketball any of the last 2 years. You could have known. Did anyone think Arenas was coming back other than you?
I actually did. I never thought the Wizards would be dumb enough to spend $120 million on him if there was a chance he wasn't coming back. It's just common sense.
It's amazing to me, considering how closely you follow basketball, that you wouldn't believe the Wizards could do something stupid like that.
No. Listen, I killed the Wizards for that contract. But the fact that, the initial reports were he's coming back in mid-December.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons they signed him to that ridiculous deal. But the fact that they, as it turns out, really had no idea when he was coming back and they gave him that money anyway, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, well, it's crazy. Hard to believe the league's in financial trouble.
So who wins our draft?
Our draft?
Who wins our league? I actually think it's going to be me and you in the finals.
It's going to be me and you in the finals, too.
And it'll just come down to
our teams are peaking at the right times.
Yeah.
And the other two guys aren't. And that will be fun. Are you prepared to grow your Fu Manchu?
Well, I'm more than prepared. And you know what's good is that our teams are pretty even, and it'll just come down to who had more games and which guy had a worse injury in the last 2 weeks. So we have a built-in excuse no matter who wins and who loses, which
I'm
is nice.
I'm desperately hoping, though, it's Shaq that leads me to tell because you mocked me so mercifully when I drafted
him. He'll get hurt. He'll get hurt.
It would serve me right.
Wait a second,
fan.
Though.
Yeah.
The fact that conceivably and probably we're both going to make the finals, it's pretty good.
It's impressive.
It's pretty impressive.
And the eight guys that all rode in and did all these bribes to get in should be embarrassed about themselves.
And not just that, but I posted, you obviously are making your preseason fantasy picks. I posted a whole fantasy preview like a week before where listing basically every guy I liked. And all of those other guys read it. And anytime one of my guys came up, they all drove up the price by $10.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
I paid like an ungodly amount for Dwayne Wade because people knew I was going to pay whatever it took to get him.
Yes.
With that degree of difficulty to make the finals, I'm just honored to be here.
Yeah. That's the right attitude in case you lose and then, you should be embarrassed.
I think it's going to be, what it'll come down to is what you get from Shaq, ironically, in that last 2 weeks.
I sadly agree. I need Josh Smith to step up too, but let's talk about anything else.
No, let's talk about fantasy baseball.
Sure. Okay.
So how you feeling about sleepers at this point? Is it still too early? Can you give us like five sleepers?
I can give you five sleepers. Five sleepers. By the way though, guess what I'm doing? I can't decide if you're going to be mad about this or happy for me.
Okay.
But so a week,
if it involves sex with a woman, I'm happy.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I do better than people think. I know people like to write to you anytime I'm talking to a girl in a bar, but I do okay. I want a serious girlfriend. I date a lot. I'd like to meet somebody that like I'd like to, hang out
with. This is why you should be the bachelor.
Thank you. I want love, Bill.
I want to see you at some Malibu house when you're agonized between the two girls leaning over the glass balcony and sobbing.
Exactly. I'll make you this deal, Bill. If I'm the bachelor, you can be my mole or whatever. Don't they usually bring in a guy to interview the ladies you'll be my guy to come in and interview all the girls and figure out who's in it for really love and who's in it just to be on TV.
Hold on though.
Yeah.
ABC and ESPN.
Yep.
Owned by the same company.
Yes, they are. Disney.
We're always coming up with web ideas and all this stuff to run on the internet, stuff that can get sponsors. Why wouldn't we do a mini version of The Bachelor on ESPN.com with you?
We should actually do that. Someone get Rob King on the phone.
I'm backing this idea, and I know I would watch it, and I would love to be in charge of picking the 25 Bachelorettes for you.
If we get this done, you're in charge. Well, okay, question though, because clearly you're going to pick the conjoined twins. Do they count as one or two of the 25?
One.
Okay, one. All right, that's fine. That's so obvious. You're so obviously going to
pick. I'm going to have the conjoined twins, and I'm definitely picking the lady who played Natalie in Facts of Life. Those are the only two
Mindy
I can
Cohn?
Guarantee right now.
Okay.
Yeah, Mindy Cohn will be in.
Excellent. Perfect.
Yeah. Anyway, fantasy baseball sleepers.
Fantasy baseball sleepers.
Oh, well, I was going to say, so Monday, March 9th, I'm doing a fantasy baseball chat. I haven't chatted since football season.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to break the record. I'm going to try to take down Nyer. A fantasy bait starting at 10 a.m. Eastern. So I don't know if you're going to be happy about that or a little, you know.
Well,
not
I
sure,
still,
it's been you and Nyer back and forth, and I'm throwing my hat in the ring here.
I still hold the record for most longest, most entertaining chat. Nyer's chat I read. Nyer was just pumping up the hours at the end. His one sentence answers about baseball. He wasn't even attempting to be entertaining. I don't even acknowledge that record.
All right. Well, so
if
anyway,
you're gonna do if you do a try. Long chat, you gotta actually try to be entertaining the entire time. You can't just be like, "Yeah, I agree. Alex Gordon could be good." Like that's not a chat.
No, I agree. I agree. So I mean, I'm gonna. I mean, you know, most of my chats, I kind of like all over the place. We discuss not just fantasy baseball, but my dating life and pop culture. And the
I'm not against Nyer, but I went through and I read the chat. And by about the 4 hour mark, he was on autopilot.
You felt like he was phoning it in a little bit.
I just think he was tired and wanted to break the record and was just doing one sentence answers. I think he's, you know, if you read the first 3 hours of the chat, it was a lot more interesting.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I never read the chat, but regardless, I'm
all
going
right.
to, as I continue to attempt to, carve out my own little niche here, you know, because there's, you know, the ESPN, the S in ESPN stands for Simmons. So, you
why
know,
don't
I just
you
try
just
to,
do...
I just try to, you know, carve out my own little niche there and I'm,
go for 18 hours.
I'm going to try to break the records, which is 12 hours, 2 minutes. And then we'll see how far I get.
I'm excited.
At 10 a.m. Thank you.
I'm excited. I'm rooting for you.
I appreciate that.
You know what I'm like? I'm Apollo in Rocky 3. I'm Apollo in Rocky 3. I want you to do well.
I like that analogy. You are.
Thank you.
All right. Couple
of sleepers
for you. Five sleepers. Number one, Shin-Soo Choo. He's an outfielder for the Indians who I absolutely love. Last year, after the All-Star break, 343, 11 home runs, 48 RBIs. He looks absolutely fantastic in camp. Just did a, you and I both did ESPN.com commercials.
Yeah.
You know, and I've seen yours. And they couldn't take a take where you actually hit a basket, by the way. What's that about? Or did they not have a take where you hit a basket?
I hit a couple of baskets and they used the one where I didn't make the shot.
Yeah.
That's why I made the noise.
Right. So anyway, I'm in one like that too coming up. And in mine, Grady Sizemore, Matt Holliday, and Alyssa Milano were in the spot as well, and Buster Olney. And I talked to Grady at this thing, and I was just asking him, hey, how's camp going? And he just said, Shin-Soo Choo is hitting everything in sight. Just looks awesome.
You're such an idiot. You went down this road last year with Jeff Francoeur.
Yeah, trust me.
And you crashed into the highway divider.
I did. But
why do you trust these guys?
I know. And I gave Brian McCann crap about that when I saw him at the All-Star break. I'm like, you sold me the bill of goods on Francoeur. And he's like, I know. I'm sorry, dude.
Yeah, it's Grady Sizemore would be a part. I just got to say this about Shin-Soo Choo. I had him on my AL only league where the 40 deep with the minor leaguers, and he had many cups of coffees with the frozen splinters.
Yeah, but he's still young. I'm telling you, Shin-Soo Choo, trust me on this.
No, I know he got hot.
The second half, he's going to have a monster year.
Okay, that's one.
There's
four more.
One. Another one, Raul Ibanez.
An old favorite of mine.
Yeah, I got a great stat for you. You're like, listen, I know you hate this, but nothing sexy about Ibanez, nothing interesting, nothing exciting about it, but
yep.
I got a couple of great stats for you. First off, he's hit at least 20 home runs, 100 RBIs the last 3 years. Now, from April 1st, 2006, till October 1st, 2008, so basically the last three seasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
There have only been nine players in Major League Baseball that have hit more RBIs than Raul Ibanez. He's hit more over that time frame than Manny Ramirez, more than Teixeira, more than Carlos Lee. The guy is money in the bank, and now he goes from Safeco and the AL West to the NL East and the Phillies and that bandbox of a ballpark they have. And Ibanez, by the way, is going really, really late. He's going like 32nd among outfielders. We have this thing on ESPN, Doc. We have this live draft results, so you can just click on it and basically see like where anyone's going.
Yeah.
You know, and it's pretty cool. So you know, like, oh, he's going 32nd among outfielders, so you can go a little bit, you know, earlier on him.
I have a couple things to add.
Okay.
First of all, I loved when the Phillies got Raul Ibanez and talked about it on a podcast and got a couple emails from baseball stat dorks claiming that, you know, typical, I don't really understand stats. And all I know is the guy was an RBI machine in a bad stadium, and now he's going to a better lineup.
With better guys in front of him.
With better guys in front of him. And
other than Ichiro, he never had anyone really, you know, on base in front of him.
And also, I watched the Red Sox play the Mariners every year, and he was one of the guys who was like, oh, crap, this guy's up. He's going to do something. I just think he's good. And then the other thing that you mentioned is that he's a guy that, for whatever reason, is not fun to take. You're like, like every year in my AL draft, he'd go for like $16 or $15, and you'd be like, yeah, I don't really feel bad about missing out on him. And then he'd put up his 100 RBI again. So I like him. I agree on you.
All right.
So I'm 1-for-2 with your picks so far.
Okay. So you're not with me on Chinsu Chu.
I'm not.
Okay, fair enough. I absolutely love him. Jose Lopez. So I'm going to stay in former Seattle guy. Now I'm going to Seattle. Second baseman for the Mariners. Last year, 17 home runs, 89 RBIs, hit .297. Only 25. This is a guy that's going 11th among second basemen right now. So he's going outside. I mean, you know, in a standard ESPN.com standard league, right, which is 10 teams.
Mm-hmm.
So people are their 10 starting second basemen are going before anyone drafts Lopez. Last year was a top four second baseman in batting average and RBIs. Guy's gonna get 20-90 this year with a high average. You know, to get, I mean, he's basically Jeff Kent when Jeff Kent was good.
Right.
I mean, you know, he's with potential for like 25 home runs.
Are we sure he's 25 and he's not one of these Jose Rios signees that's really 30?
Who cares? His home runs have gone up for 3 straight years. Lopez is on the right, you know, is kind of on the right path there.
Bad OBP though for him.
Yeah, but he, you know what? I mean, he basically was really good, then he got injured for a year, wasn't great, and then last year came back strong. You know, he's a guy, especially, because to me, sleepers are one of those things that's like, you know, what's a sleeper, right? To me, it's, you know, I mean, I could sit here and say, like, I think Ricky Nolasco's a sleeper. No, Ricky Nolasco was terrific last year, so I don't know that anyone's is surprised by Ricky Nolasco. But do I think he could be, from where he's being drafted, I think he could be an elite top 10 pitcher this year, based on his underlying stats.
I would argue that there's 3 types of sleepers.
Okay.
The first is a young guy who's never done anything yet, but you feel like he will. The second guy is a guy who's established a few seasons of whatever productivity, but you feel like he's going to jump to another level. And then the third guy is a guy who's in his 30s, who you kind of feel like you know what he is, but he has either one last jump in him or a comeback season or right. Whatever, like Chipper Jones last year.
Right, or Aubrey Huff last year.
Yeah, so those are the 3 types.
Okay.
So you've listed now, you've listed all three types. You've right. Examples for each one.
I'll give you another guy, like a guy that I absolutely love. I'll stay out in the AL West here. Jose Arredondo. You know,
Arredondo. We tried to trade for him up to anticipating K-Rod leaving, but we tried to trade for him for 3 solid weeks, and the guy just wouldn't give him up because it's a keeper league. But I agree. You know, and I also think that
and
that
everyone's
was one
saying
of the
now Fuentes is going to be the guy. Fuentes has lost his job a couple times, and Arredondo is a guy that even if he doesn't become the closer at any point, is still going to have a lot of value.
And I'll go this far. I think that Angels-Red Sox series is a little different if Socha leaned on him a little more.
I agree with you. I agree with you. Well, and it would have been helpful also if any of the Angels infielders decide to actually make a play. The worst defensive infield I've ever seen in the series.
By that same token, the Arredondo type of guy, I think Juan Cruz is like that.
Yes. I agree with you.
Well, not to interject on your 5 sleepers, but I love the Royals in general. I think mm-hmm. that whole team's going to take off this year. I like Cruz. I like Soria. I love Mike Aviles. Gordon, this is his 3rd year. He's due to make the 3rd year leap. I like Billy Butler. I just like that team. If you have a couple Royals.
And by the way, Jose Guillen is another one of those guys, kind of like
Ibanez.
Like Ibanez. That's just, there's nothing interesting about him, but, you know, always puts up numbers.
Let me throw one more guy at you because I think this guy's an official sleeper is Coco.
Coco Crisp,
no pressure. Kansas City leading
possibly.
Off every day could
They're
get like
run.
50
I mean,
steals,
possibly if he gets to play every day. I mean, they've got a lot of guys there. They've got DeJesus. I mean, you know, they maybe.
Well, how's that shaking out? I thought he was playing every day.
I think they've got a lot of guys there, and I don't think they've exactly figured out what
Butler's,
they want to do.
But Butler's the DH, and then they have Guillen, Crisp, and DeJesus in the outfield, right?
Say that one more time. I'm trying to think of my Kansas City here.
I'll look it up as I'm talking. But
right.
But
I'll
Butler
look it
at
up
DH.
While you're talking to.
Butler DH, right.
Crisp in center.
Mm-hmm.
DeJesus in left to right, and then Guillen in left to right.
Right.
Isn't that, isn't that their team?
They've got Tayan. You're forgetting about Mark Tayan.
Oh, crap.
Because they've got Gordon at third. That, I knew there was something. And Joey Gathright is still around, I believe.
Yeah, you're right. So they have.
That's the thing.
Yeah, but you got four guys for, actually you have five guys for four spots. I mean, the at-bats are going to shake out. And plus, DeJesus is a lefty and Jose Guillen's a righty. I see them kind of maybe cutting bait with Guillen.
Yeah,
maybe.
I mean.
Or trying to trade him or something.
Very possibly. I mean, you know, they've got, right now, the depth chart has Tayan on the bench. You know, sort of backing up a couple of different places.
Oh, we forgot about Mike Jacobs.
Oh, I love Mike Jacobs. I love
That's
Mike Jacobs.
That's 30 homers.
Yep. I
like this Royals team. And then you got, for the starters, Gilmesh, who's
Gathright's no longer with him. So I was wrong on that one.
Gilmesh is one of those Ibanez types that you don't feel great about taking, but he ends up starting every week for you. Greinke, Bannister.
Greinke's terrific. I got a great stat for you on Mesh. Last year, after the All-Star break,
he was lights out.
Only four pitchers had more strikeouts than Gilmesh.
Yeah, he was great. I'm not a fan of Hocovar, however you say his name.
He's young. I mean, he's a young guy. They probably rushed him a little bit too much. He's got skills. I think they rushed him. I think he's probably a year away.
Kyle Davies isn't bad either.
He's not great, dude.
He's not bad.
He's not great. You know.
He's not a train wreck, though.
He's not. I mean, the thing about Kyle Davies is, you know, he was in the Braves system for a while. You know, he's young. He's 25. He, you know, I'm looking up his numbers right now.
Well, look at his September. 2.27 ERA, 31 innings, 198 batting average, 24 Ks, 7 walks.
Now, he was great in September.
I saw him pitch one good game and thought he was good.
Well, there
you know what? I'll tell you one thing. The Kansas
City. If you were
City
in an AL-only league, I think he's worth a gamble. But, I mean, you know, he was always a highly touted prospect in the Braves system. He's just a guy that I think he's going to be inconsistent. He's not going to get the run support with the Royals. I agree with you that I think, like, the Royals are a team like that. I think the Mariners are a team like that, where there's actually, like, a lot more fantasy value than you might think. A guy that I absolutely love is Ubaldo Jimenez. Actually, the Rockies pitching staff, I think, has some nice sleepers on it. Ubaldo Jimenez had the quietest 3.99 ERA last year in the majors leagues. And you look at what he did after the All-Star break, had a 3.68 ERA. Him and a guy named Jorge De La Rosa, who I think is also going to make the rotation for the Rockies, was absolutely lights out as a starter after the break. So it's no longer like you have to avoid Rockies pitchers. And certainly if you're in a league where you can, you know, change them out, you don't have to start them at home. But look, Aaron Cook got 16 wins for that team last year as a starting pitcher. Ubaldo Jimenez was terrific, and his underlying numbers are great. Same with Jorge De La Rosa. So, you know, the strikeout to walk rate is terrific on both of those players.
I got one other guy, the Giambino.
You know what? I'm actually okay with that one. Going back to Oakland, pressure being off.
Yeah.
I think you're right on that one. Actually, I think he could be okay.
Batting behind Matt Holliday, possibly?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And Holliday, by the way, is a guy that I think is going to have a big year, too. People are like, oh, he's going to Oakland. His value is killed. I mean, guy still hit over 300 on the road. He was 28 of 30 in terms of stolen bases last year. The A's run more than people realize. Yeah. Most people think Oakland doesn't run. They were actually middle of the pack in the American League last year in terms of stolen bases. So they tend to let people run if they're smart about it. And obviously Holliday takes his chances. And the great thing about Holliday, though, is he's not going to be in Oakland he's only going to be in Oakland for half the year. They're going to trade him.
I love him for two reasons. First of all, I think he's just good, and I don't think the whole Colorado skews the stats thing applies to him. I just think he's a good hitter, and I really wanted the Red Sox to get him. And then second, as you said, contract year.
Yeah.
It's in his interest to have an awesome season so he gets paid a lot of money, you know? And he's in a division where he's going to be facing, you know, not the cream of the crop pitching-wise.
No.
Talking about 57 games against maybe he's going to see
Rangers,
five good pitchers.
Yeah.
Ervin Santana and
Santana's a good pitcher, but I mean,
yeah.
Getting the range.
So,
I mean,
Felix Hernandez. That's really it, though.
I actually think, I like Bedard as a sleeper this year. Contract year for Eric Bedard. I think he comes back healthy. Brandon Morrow, I absolutely love. Another young pitcher for Seattle. Really like Brandon Morrow.
Really like him.
I'll give.
What about Joey Devine?
really like Joey Devine. I'm just not convinced he's going to... I mean, because Ziegler's been terrific, too, as the closer.
Why would they... Well, on the depth chart right now...
they're saying Devine is the closer.
But why? Ziegler basically converted every save opportunity.
I think the idea is because Ziegler is a little more flexible. Like, they can use Ziegler kind of in a Scott Shields role, where he can go two or three innings. I don't know that they feel the same way with Devine.
That's my guess.
I mean, purely speculative at this point.
What about Juan Rivera?
I like Juan Rivera. You know what? He's always been able to hit when he's been able to stay healthy. I'm not as freaked out about the Angels not keeping Teixeira as some are, because I think Juan Rivera will hit.
Well, they certainly wagered on him because they eschewed pursuing Manny to give Juan Rivera 3 years, $12 billion.
Yeah. You look at his stats. You look at Juan Rivera's stats. He's always been able to hit when he's stayed healthy. The problem for him has been able to stay healthy and been on the field for an entire season. I think this is last chance saloon for Kendry Morales. I'm not 100% sold on him.
I don't like any of those quote-unquote prospects that never made it on the Angels. They have like 10 of them.
Although, I'll tell you, catcher is really deep this year.
Yeah.
And Mike Napoli is one of those guys that I think you can get fairly late who's going to put up good numbers.
If you had your druthers, though, you would have rather they didn't sign Juan Rivera and just spent $75 million on Manny, I hope, right?
Well, of course.
Well, why wouldn't they have done that?
I don't know. They're being fiscally responsible. Didn't you just write 70 million words on how the NBA is losing money?
Yeah, but doesn't Manny bring people to the ballpark? Aren't you more interested if he's on your team?
Sure, of course. I am.
I don't get the Nationals.
By the way, your boy Manny, why don't you send Manny a little text message or something like that? I'm sure you have him on speed dial. Because, he's been crazy. Turning down 45 mil from the Dodgers. He's not getting that anywhere else.
I don't get it either.
I
thought for sure the Nationals, with all the stuff that's happening with them, and the GM had to resign, and just this huge scouting scandal. Just sign Manny for 3 years. Everybody will immediately forget about all this stuff. Just give him $100 million.
Right.
And the Nats are not even on the map right now.
No. I mean, they blew their bank on Adam Dunn there.
Give me one starter in each league that you think will kind of turn into what happened with Volquez last year.
Well, Ricky Nolasco is a guy that I don't know if he's obscure enough, but fourth in strikeouts after the All-Star break, 15-8. After the All-Star break, listen to this, last year, 98 strikeouts and only 12 walks in 95 innings. I think Ricky Nolasco is going to be a top 10 pitcher by the end of the year. That's a guy that I think is just going to be absolutely lights out. I told you, I like the Rockies guys a lot. I like Paul Mahalam, by the way, who's in Pittsburgh and gets no love at all. But actually, if you look at his numbers, and I did this in my love-hate column, if you look at his numbers and compare him to, Roy Oswalt, Oswalt's better, but not, significantly better. Hand in hand there. I'll give you, I got one other sleeper for you that I just want to get out there.
An American League starter.
Oh, so I didn't. I told Brandon Morrow. Brandon Morrow is the guy that I think it takes the next step. I absolutely love him. I think he has a huge, huge year.
Okay.
So that would be a guy. In the American League. Stephen Drew, I think, is going to have another huge year. Hit .326 after the All-Star break. Finally a Drew you can root for, Bill.
Come on. We won the World Series because of my man, JD.
Stop it. Do you know he's never hit more than 20 home runs for you?
So on board with JD. You can't talk me out of him.
God, you're insane.
So great. He's our highest paid player. I got to support him.
he's so bad. JD Drew is so bad.
Oh, stop it.
He is. He is the ultimate example of big name, no production.
I got to give you three Red Sox sleepers.
Go for it, please. I don't think there's such a thing as a Red Sox sleeper.
As long as
you exist in big media, I don't think there is such a thing as Red Sox sleeper.
There's three Red Sox sleepers.
Okay.
David Ortiz, I think, is going to have a big year.
Stop.
And here's why.
Oh, my God.
He was hurt all last year.
And he's gotten healthy how?
I just think he's healthy.
You just think he's healthy?
I think he's healthy. I think he's motivated. And
why would he be motivated? Why is he motivated?
Because he had a bad year last year.
Yeah.
And he sucked in the playoffs.
Yes, he did. I think someone will overpay because he's David Ortiz. I don't think he's a sleeper. I think he's a bust, actually. I am on my hate.
See, I feel the opposite. I think he's got the stink on him now.
He's got
people like, oh, I don't trust that guy. Maybe he was involved. Maybe he's on that list of 104. Maybe that's why his stats declined. I think there's a little stink on him. So that's one.
All right.
Here's my second one.
Yeah.
And this is a guy that you'll get in the, you know, in a mixed league, you wouldn't even take. But if it's an American league, you know, late in the draft, whatever. Jed Lowry will end up being the Red Sox.
I do actually
shortstop.
Like Jed Lowry.
He will be the Red Sox shortstop. They will buy out Julio Lugo or trade him for somebody else's mistake or whatever.
Right. I'm with you on Jed Lowry. He's a plucky little guy. But to me, Lowry is one of those guys. He's either a deep AL-only league play or nothing at all. I think Lowry's a better real-life player than fantasy player because he doesn't run all that much. He doesn't have that much power. He's a guy that's going to get you at bats and not hurt you, which is the nice thing about him.
That's why I like him.
Yeah, but from a fantasy perspective, Jed Lowry's not a guy that you're like, you know.
Well, that's why I said American League, if runs and RBI are two categories. But here's the guy I really like.
Okay. I like that you got the low golf voice. Like the secret voice. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to do the Jim Rome. Right. Here's the guy I really like. Pause. 1 second. 2 seconds. 3 seconds. 4 seconds. 5 seconds. Rocco Baldelli.
I could see that, actually. I could actually see that if he can stay healthy. I mean, because he actually played well in that last month with Tampa Bay last year. He's like, I think he's on a one-year deal, right?
I'll make the case in three parts.
Go for it.
Hit the crap out of the ball last year down the stretch
when
he played.
Yeah, last month. Right.
Had this thing that set him back, but now seems to have recovered from. So that's actually, this is four parts. I'm not convinced Jacoby Ellsbury is good.
What?
I hate to say it, but I watched him all last year, and I don't know. He was never the same after he hurt his wrist, and maybe that was it. But all I can tell you is the last 3 months of the season, you did not want him up. By the playoffs, they just basically jettisoned him and played Coco every day because they just couldn't handle this guy killing them anymore. I'm not totally sold on him lighting it up this year. I could see a platoon where Rocco goes against every lefty. Then you look at JD, who only gets 400, 450 at-bats every year. Rocco's going to get all the leftover at-bats. If he stays healthy, I think he gets the 400 at-bats. And then you have Ortiz, who's not going to play every day either, potentially.
No, you aren't. The one thing that scares me about Ortiz, I mean, there's a couple of things, other than the fact that he's 33 and 1,000 pounds. And
yeah.
RBIs have gone down for three straight years.
Yes.
Home runs have gone down for three straight years. His slugging percentage have gone down for three straight years. So it's not just that, like, last year he was injured. He's on a downward trend.
He's on a downward trend. But he did, the last 2 years were explainable because he had a bad knee in 2007, and last year he had the elbow.
Okay, those are two fixable
injuries that he had.
Okay, yeah, but I mean, they haven't fixed it. I mean, I know, it's like you're saying, look, I know he's old, and I know he's been injured the last couple of years.
But now
he's healthy. Now that he's been injured for the last 2 years, he's rested. Just insane. This is where your Red Sox, your blatant Red Sox Boston homerism comes in and clouds your judgment.
Just hear me out for 1 second. I meant wrist, not elbow. So his knee that he hurt was the knee that basically you push off, you get power. Then last year, you know baseball, you hurt your wrist. There's no worst injury to have for a power hitter. I just think it's conceivable that he could bounce back with a monster season. And
of course,
what he'll
it's
go
conceivable.
To,
of course, it's conceivable. It's conceivable for a lot of players. By the way, how much did you freak out when the news came out that Big Poppy's been hanging out with that band?
I'm ignoring all of it. I'm just the
band trainer that hangs out with A-Rod too.
I operate my life right now just assuming the worst with all the Red Sox players, so that way, if anything happens, I'm not going to be blindsided.
How angry will you be if it comes out that JD Drew used performance enhancing drugs? Like he used performance enhancing drugs and he still sucks. How angry will you be?
I gotta say, I'm not even, no performance enhancing drug thing would make me mad at this point. I just assume these guys are doing it unless proven otherwise. It's kind of sad.
Yeah. See, I think just legalize it. Let everyone do it. Now you got an even playing field. Let everyone do it.
Can I say one more thing about Ortiz?
It's your podcast.
Well, the goal when you're picking fantasy players is to try to get somebody in an awesome value that he will exceed.
There's no question about it. Fantasy sports is all about value. Absolutely.
David Ortiz, if you look at all the big ticket the quote-unquote guys who could just put up huge numbers is the one guy who I think is going to be obscenely undervalued for what he could do. He's the only guy in that category. That he could, you would not bet your life against him hitting 50 homers and getting 130 RBI this year. You just wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, he's currently going in the seventh round. So
that's, I think that's too low.
You know, I don't know. I mean, because then you look at like, okay, so I'm just looking at DHs, right? Jim Thomae is going like in the 14th round. You know,
yeah.
And well, look at their numbers last year. Jim Thomae last year, 35 home runs, 94 RBIs, hit 257. I'm sorry, I take that back. He hit 30, I'm looking at a different line. He hit 34 home runs, 90 RBIs, 245. That's what he did last year. Hit 245 with 34 and 90. You look at David Ortiz last year, 23, 89, 264. If, let's say David Ortiz gets healthy, right? Let's say he gets healthy, maybe he's, let's, best case scenario, he hits 265, 30, 40 home runs, 100 RBIs.
Best case scenario, I think it's higher than that.
Come on, really?
He's a 300 hitter. He hit 300, he hits between 288 and 332 every year from 03 to 07.
No, last year he hit, hang on, last year.
I said, yeah, last year he dipped to 264. It was the worst year he's had since 02.
Right. So that's the recent history. I'm just saying, like, I don't think there is a difference. I'd rather have Jim Thomae 10 rounds later. Who's going to put up, in a best case scenario, is going to put up slightly less stats than David Ortiz.
Do you like these numbers? 332 batting average, 445 on base, 621 slugging, 35 homers, 117 RBI.
Yeah, and that's
that
what
was
he did in 07.
That was, yeah, 07, that was 07.
That's his 07 number. Those are good numbers, but do I think those are
good
like
numbers? That you win the league if you're paying $20 for somebody who puts up those numbers.
If. That's a big, big if. And
but can you explain his 2008 lack of success by the simple fact that he had an injured wrist?
Of course you can.
That's
and the fact
point.
That he's old, and the league has caught up, and the league has caught up to him, and he's on a 3-year downward trend in all the major power categories.
I would say the bigger, if you're going to make a case against him, the bigger thing is that he doesn't have Manny anymore. That's my number one concern with him. I don't care about the age. I think 33 is, unless you're going to play the Mo Vaughn card, that he has just gotten too big and too old.
Well, I certainly think that's a concern. I'm with you on Manny. I like Jason Bay. I don't think he's Manny.
Mm.
I think JD Duke.
And that's an understatement.
Yeah. Listen, it could be a really ugly year for the Red Sox this year. You guys got a lot of question marks. I don't know about Mike Lowell. There's a lot of question marks.
I don't agree because the bullpen's so much better this year.
Although, I mean, here's the thing. You have nothing but lottery tickets in your rotation.
Yeah. Our pitching will carry us this year.
We'll see. Beckett needs to stay healthy. You need John Lester to keep at the same level. I do believe in John Lester, but you need him to step up in the way he was. You need Josh Beckett not to be crappy again.
You know what I'm most excited about?
You need Smoltz to actually be healthy in the second half. Yeah.
I'm most excited about to see if Dice can break his record for most starts and least innings pitched. Like, if he had 33 innings and 165 innings pitched, that'd be amazing. Nobody's ever done that. Nobody's ever not ever gotten into the seventh inning ever during
ever.
A season but pitched the whole season.
That's
so I'm rooting
true.
For
last
that.
Year, let's see, I'm looking at his last year, 167 innings pitched. And started 29 games.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
He made the eighth inning like three times.
Yeah.
All right, we got to go because this went long. I intended this to be 60 minutes.
And
we superseded it because, you know, we didn't realize it, but now we're on a quest to make you the next Bachelor, or at least the ESPN.com Bachelor.
It's definitely a pretty good idea. Hey, are you going to get on the Twitter, by the way?
Never.
Why
would
you
not do
this?
It's the one thing I refuse to do. I refuse to do it. I don't even think my friends are interested that if I'm texting them things like, hey, I'm at Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf.
See, I think
who
you
cares?
Were born, I think you were born for Twitter.
No way.
So
never. I will never do it.
Because there's somebody on Twitter as Bill Simmons, so you should use this opportunity to say it's not you.
I've already done that.
Have you?
I've made that clear.
How have you made that clear?
I said on a podcast about 2 weeks ago that there's somebody on Twitter and he is not me.
Oh, I didn't. I don't. Unless I'm on your podcast, I don't listen to it.
I don't listen to anyone else's podcast either.
I only listen to this to see like what they cut of ours, and then I'm like, oh man, we did that whole thing. Oh, I wish they'd let that go in.
You need a disclaimer.
Yeah.
All right, Matthew Berry.
All right.
Good luck breaking the chat record on March 9th.
Well, thank you very much, Bill Simmons,
and good luck promoting your free fantasy baseball game.
Yes, free on ESPN.com. Also, by the way, I do a podcast every single day that you've been a guest on.
And good luck with that.
If you're a fan of the podcasting format, Fantasy Focus, me and Nate Ravitz, we do it every day. Half hour. Lots of fun. We make fun of all sorts of stuff.
Good luck to you and the Angels. Talk to you soon.
See you, Bill.
Target percent off. Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.